So I'm very happy to be here with you today. And I love this theme that Reverend Patty has established, living in wholeness. And what I like about it is the dynamic nature of that theme, that it's not just about getting the concept of wholeness, although I do believe that that is the first step, but it is about actually actively living our wholeness, bringing that truth of who we are into full expression through everything that we do in the world. And so wholeness is a central teaching of Science of Mind, and it actually distinguishes our path. It actually distinguishes the new thought path, because you will not hear this same teaching about wholeness in all other religions. And yet it's the deep truth that we claim. It distinguishes our path. This wholeness is the essential truth of our being. That's what we teach. And because of that, this truth, this principle, is the basis for all of the healing that we do. And we are a healing, even though we seem to sometimes lose that focus, we are actually a healing denomination. Because healing, as Ernest Holmes says, is the revelation of truth. And the truth to be revealed is always wholeness. And so truly everything that we do is to bring forth that greater expression. And so this essential truth of your being, you might think of it as claiming that in you there is nothing broken and nothing missing. So let's say together, nothing broken, nothing missing. Nothing broken, nothing missing. And if you're concerned about anybody in your life, that's the same truth about them. Let's say again, nothing broken, nothing missing. And that's kind of a negative way of saying this truth of wholeness, but sometimes those words help us too. And so what I want to say to you is that just as the mighty oak is contained within the acorn and the fully blossomed fragrant rose and the plant it grew on is contained within the seed, the rose seed, so you, in the fullness of your being, in the wholeness of your being, in the fullness of the self-expression, is contained right within the God seed that you are. And everything that you need for your full and joyful expression of life is already within you. You cannot get it from somewhere else. It's already within you because there is nothing missing. And all that it is waiting for is for your full attention to understand the concept of wholeness and then to decide to bring it forth. And the other piece of this teaching that is so important is that this wholeness in you that is like a glittering diamond in the invisible levels of your being has never been, is not now, and can never be hurt, harmed, or touched by anything that's taken place in your life. And I invite you to breathe that one in. No matter how you convinced you are from having walked through it about the difficult things that you have been through, and you have, and so have I, no matter what your life path has been, this essential truth of wholeness has not been touched by any single thing that has happened to you. And it will not be touched by any single thing that ever happens to you in your lifetime or any other lifetime. And it is the turning to that, giving your attention to that truth, that begins the healing process. And the wholeness in you just awaits your decision to live it fully and completely in your life. And so what I am saying to you today is the whole truth about you. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's the talk for today, the whole truth. I don't mean like I'm done, although we could be, because that really, you know, there really is hardly anything else to say, but I will go ahead and fill up the time. Because it's fun. So the first step in living our wholeness is to get the concept. It is to get the concept of what I've just shared with you and to allow it to come into your awareness as a principle, and then, because really our whole philosophy is based on it, and then seek to begin to feel the reality of that truth. You know, we get to choose what we believe. May as well believe this one because it's a good one. Really, it's a good one. And then the next step is to practice affirming and knowing your wholeness So say, please, I am whole. And so when life is going really well, the truth is, and when you cry yourself to sleep at night, the truth is, and when you just got a huge inheritance, you say, and when I'm rich, and when, exactly, and when your finances are all messed up, you say, and when you're slam dunk in love, you say, and when you just broke up, you say, when you have an issue with your body, you say, if somebody's angry with you, you say, if you don't have a job, you say, when you get the job of your dreams, you say, that's it. Because the wholeness in you is not contingent upon or conditioned by any of those things. And this is the whole truth. This is what we embrace on our path. The wholeness in you, the wholeness of you, the wholeness as you. This is the truth. And it patiently waits your attention and your decision to live it. And the moment that you do, healing begins. Healing as the revelation of truth. And also, the moment we turn our attention to it, of course, everything that we have in us that wars with the idea of our wholeness rises up. And that's where the work begins. Our path is not for the faint at heart. Not at all. We walk a warrior's path. We really do. We walk a warrior's path in the direction of our wholeness. So I will share with you that this teaching of wholeness and science of mind gave me my life. I was going to say it saved my life, but the truth is it gave me my life. It also gave me my professional path. Because everything I teach, speak about, and seek to learn is all about wholeness. And I was not raised with messages about my inherent wholeness. How about you? And most of us were raised with people who did not know this concept of wholeness. They didn't know it for themselves, let alone us. And I know on my own path, what greeted me more were reflections of anything but wholeness. And so when I came into Science of Mind and began to connect with this teaching, it was like an elixir to me. Really, it was just like, it was the elixir of life. Because it gave me something else to look at, to believe in, and to know is the truth of my being, other than all those, other than all the erroneous conclusions I had come to about myself and about life. And so we walk this path. So early on in Science of Mind, it occurred to me that we're walking this path of successive steps toward the deeper realization of the truth of our wholeness. Ernest Holmes says we walk this endless pathway, this long journey, the work of which is to allow more and more of the divine nature to be revealed in us. So in other words, we're on this path to be more love, to be more peace, to be more joy, to be more abundance, to be more power, all the qualities of God. We're here to allow more of that divine nature to come into us in full realization and expression. And he says, at the same time, we're spiraling up to greater and greater awareness that God is what we are. And that is the teaching. And we're all going there. And nobody's going to be left behind. It is up to us, though, how long it will take. It's up to each one of us how long that pathway will take. Years ago, Terry Cole Whitaker, who was my spiritual mom, said something about relationships, very simple statement, but I think it's true. And she says, we're either manifesting our relationships or our blockages to them. You like that? Bing. Okay. And I think it's true about all of the qualities of God. We're either manifesting our wholeness or our blockages to our wholeness. I do believe that's true. And it's a choice. And I love the song that you sang about the choice. It's a choice. We each face a choice. We can stay as poor, weak, afraid, sad, fearful, withheld, non-abundant, have I missed anything, sick, as we want to. Or we can be kind of happy and kind of fulfilled and kind of loving, you know, in some sort of middle ground or middle state. Or we can make a decision to be flat out walking the journey toward our wholeness and every single thing that that would mean. A wholeness of self, a wholeness of love, a wholeness of supply, a wholeness of joy, a wholeness of physical well-being. It's up to each one of us. And making a decision to walk a path like that means we do the work of the path. Yeah, well, I was called this week to do some consulting for an organization. One of my intentions is actually to do undercover spiritual work in the secular world. Covert spiritual ops. And so I was called to do some consulting for an organization, and the leader there played the video of a man named Dave Logan, who is one of two co-authors of a book called The Three Laws of Performance. And I've actually used that book before in ministerial leadership teaching I have done. But the two authors, Dave Logan and the other one, come out of Landmark training. So you might be familiar with that. I did the S training years ago, so Landmark's downline from that. And what they were talking about was the default, or what he was talking about in the video was the concept of the default future. And the default future for an organization is the future that will happen if no major change is undertaken. In other words, our default future is the future we arrive at by default because we don't do anything else to make it different. And for an organization, usually everybody knows what the default future is. They're all pretty much in agreement. They see it. And so if nothing extraordinary is done to make a change, the organization will end up where it is headed. In fact, that's a Chinese proverb. If we don't change our direction, we are likely to end up where we are headed. Wow, what truth. And it's the same thing for us individually. If we keep on keeping on in the same way without changing anything, we're going to end up where we're headed. The ball has been thrown to the window, you know. It doesn't have to be a disaster scenario, but if no hand reaches up to grab it, it's going to hit the window. That's how it goes. Or the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Can you relate to that? I can. What I know is that if I don't affirm a truer, deeper understanding of myself and my life and what I want for myself, it's going to be really difficult for me to have a different experience of my life than what I'm having right now. That we have to realize a deeper truth before we can reveal something new. We have to realize a deeper truth about who we are in our wholeness before we can reveal or have show up the outer signs of that wholeness in our expression. You know, we talk about Einstein's quotation about you can't solve a problem with the consciousness that created it, which is true. But here's the quote. I finally have the whole quote. The world that we have made as a result of the level of thinking we have done thus far creates problems that we cannot solve at the same level we created them. Make sense? The world that we have made as a result of the level of thinking we have done thus far creates problems that we cannot solve at the same level we created them. And so if you are seeking to solve a problem with the same consciousness that created the problem to begin with, which is going to be some kind of reflection of you not knowing your wholeness, it's going to be hard to have the change. And believe me, everything I'm saying to you today, I am saying to myself. And here's the truth. Here's the whole truth. that you have at the center of you a divine wholeness. I so believe this. It is, yes, the core principle of our teaching. I absolutely believe it. You have at the center of you, I have at the center of me, a divine wholeness that is fully formed and beautiful, nothing broken, nothing missing. And inside that is a profound spiritual promise. And the profound spiritual promise is, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. The divine truth in you says, I have come in you. I have come into form in you so that you might have life and have it abundantly. And what does abundant life mean? It doesn't just mean money, but that's good. It means overflowing goodness. The promise at the center of your being is that you will live a life of overflowing goodness, whatever that is for you. The goodness of your full self-expression, the goodness of love, the goodness of relationships, the goodness of your creativity, the goodness of your blessing to the world, whatever it is, anything that is good to you, the promise is that you will have overflowing goodness if you will allow it to be, if you allow it to be, if I will allow it to be. This is a really spiritually charged time of the year. And at this time of year, there are things that converge in a really wonderful way. That first of all, we have winter giving way to spring. And so we have the increase of the light, which we're going to feel even more because now it's going to be lighter later because of the time change today. Never my favorite loss of an hour. But we're here. We're good. So it's all about the increase of the light. And then, especially over the weekend, you see the mystical dance, the mystical mixture of the rain and the sun. And that is something that happens at this time of year in a way it doesn't happen at any other time. I didn't notice it so much last year, but we really got it this year, where it would pour and then the sun comes out. And all of that brings things to bloom. The flowers are coming out. Have you noticed? I'm starting to smell jasmine from my neighbor's yard next door. The east is buried in snow. We got blossoms. This is good. Life is good. So there's something special that happens with that. Passover starts on March 25th. That's the whole story, the deep story about divine guidance, about release from bondage. And then we're close on the Easter celebrations. And so that's all about rising above death, whatever it means to you, how your crucifixion becomes a resurrection. I'm fond of that idea. And it's a powerful time. And so we're in a preparatory period. The Christian tradition calls this period Lent. One of our ministers says, let's say that Lent means let's end negative thinking. So that's good. That's good. It's superficial, but it's good. I won't tell you who he is, so you can't tell him I said that. So, but this preparatory period is a time when we prepare for something wonderful to move through us. And you might call that renewal, newness, greater light, spiraling up, higher realization, more life, whatever it is. It is a time that we prepare for that. And how do we prepare? Two things. We turn away from or let go, and we turn to or welcome. And it's this bidirectional kind of work that we are to do at this time. To turn away from what is untrue, to turn away from the false, to turn away from what is not good for you. You know what it is. To turn away from what is in the way, what no longer serves you, isn't working, can't get you where you want to go. And turning away from that or letting that go is the true meaning of fasting on the non-physical level. We want to turn to what is true, what is good for us, what is the right thing to do, what adds to our life. And that is true feasting. True feasting. We want to let go of the lesser and welcome the greater. And all of this takes work. It does. It takes work. It takes consciousness work. Somewhere Ernest Holmes says that we will pay in mental and spiritual coin. And we do. It takes work. But the work is worth it because we reveal more and more of our wholeness. Chances are right now your life is presenting you with something that is a challenge that is actually the gateway to a greater realization of your wholeness. For how many of you this is true? It's true for me. Okay. Whose hand isn't up? Okay. And there's a wonderful saying that hurts us in the saying of it, which is, what I'm up against, I am creating. Let's say that together. What I'm up against, I am creating. Now, why is that so? Because we each carry convictions of our lack of wholeness inside of us. We each have erroneous ideas or conclusions that we came to about who and what we are that we carry within. And when we have those unhealed, untransformed things, our subconscious will dish up experiences that call us to bring those to awareness so that they can be transformed. That makes sense to you? And so right within any significant challenge that you have right now, and even the small ones, you are being called to a greater awareness of your own wholeness, to let go of some idea that you've had for a long time about how you're not whole, not free, not powerful, on and on and on. And if you will do the work, this very challenge, it doesn't mean you're off the path, it means you're solidly on your path. If you will do the work and get support, see Reverend Patty, see the practitioners, get support, you will use this time, this challenge will become a victory for you, and it will be the victory of your wholeness, the victory of your wholeness. I want you to imagine for a moment just moving up in consciousness. You might actually close your eyes for a moment. Just moving up so that you actually, and I don't know how to tell you how high to go because it really isn't a place, but to move up in your awareness so that you can see the long trajectory of your life. So imagine that you've moved up to a place where you can see your life as the journey that it has been from the moment of your birth into this lifetime, all the way to sitting right here now today at Vision on March 10th, 2013. And just seek to see the evolution of your soul through this long journey of your life so far. That divine truth of wholeness was in you before you came into this life, as it is with you now. And through all of the twists and turns of your individual path, this wholeness has been seeking its expression. And so I invite you just to see your life as it has unfolded, with no judgment, just with the eyes of witness, with new eyes that see the perfection of every step along the way, every twist, every turn, every challenge, every victory, all of it leading you to right here now today. And I invite you to see that nothing ever has been wasted, that there really has been no misstep along the path, and that even the things that you think have been the most difficult, the worst thing, the biggest mistake, it was really none of that. It was the step that had to be taken to get you here to now. Every single thing, grist for the mill of your awakening. Let yourself see with the eyes that love your life, that see the perfect unfoldment of your soul through all things. And yes, you can see your unconsciousness. We all can when we look back. And yet seeing that is what sets us free from it. And I invite you just to see that the light has always been trying to work its way through the darkness of your own being, lifting you to the fullest expression of your wholeness. And I'm going to give you just a minute in silence to appreciate that. and just see yourself right now here in whatever current situation you are in. Feel the wholeness in you seeking to be expressed at a whole high new level. And ask yourself, what is it that I need to lay down for the wholeness in me to be set free? What is the first thing that rises in your awareness when you ask that question? What in me needs to be laid down so that the wholeness in me can be more free? And take a nice deep breath, and you can open your eyes. And that's your work. So I want to close sharing a story that comes out of the chapter of Mark, the book of Mark in the New Testament. And I'm actually taking a resurrection class right now. So isn't that funny? I'll tell you what happens later. But I love this story. When Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, he stopped in this town called Bethany at the home of Simon. And while he was there, a woman came with an alabaster flask. And so if you can imagine this beautiful amphora shape flask made out of alabaster. And inside of it was an ointment, so not an oil, but an ointment of really precious material. So it would have been incredibly costly, very precious, very costly. And the woman came to the side of Jesus, and she broke the flask and poured the ointment over his head. So she anointed him. And in that moment, she was acknowledging what he was standing for us, because we have a metaphysical and mystical understanding of Jesus and these great teachings. He represents for us the divine truth of our being. And so this simple story, the woman's name has never been known. Her name does not come down through the history to us. But there is this beautiful image of her taking the most precious and costly thing that she had and giving it to, honoring the divine truth of being with that. And the people around her started indignantly muttering to themselves about how could she do this that could have been sold for 300 denarii, I have no idea how much that is, and given to the poor. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." And he represents the divine truth of our being. And so this very simple gesture of acknowledgement was her giving the most precious thing she had to the greatest truth that she knew, and to honor it. And so I would ask you, how would it be if you gave everything in your life to the divine truth of your wholeness? If you allowed yourself to lay down the things that do not serve the revelation of that truth, and if you gave your most precious efforts in honor of allowing this divine truth to be expressed so that you could live your wholeness beautifully and powerfully and absolutely be a gorgeous blessing to the world. And so I invite you to close your eyes. And just take a moment to breathe into your heart center. And imagine that there is a very beautiful, shimmery light that is coming down into the top of your head. So just watch this light, inviting the light that is the divine truth of your own being to come down through the top of your head to distribute itself all throughout your physical body temple. Watch the light as it begins to move through every single part of your body, coming into every muscle and nerve, every tissue, every joint, every organ, every cell, every system, every bone, until you feel yourself absolutely informed by, embraced in the light that is the truth of your own being. feeling the light as it comes down through your shoulders and arms and torso, down your legs and feet, and into all the little crevices of the toes, and out your arms to the very tips of your fingers. Just be in the light, be as the light right now. And let this light dispel any darkness of the past, any false conclusions that you've ever had about yourself or about life. Let it dispel any fear that you've been feeling just for this moment. Let it go. Lay it down. And allow yourself to begin to radiate from you out into the world this radiant truth of your own wholeness. This light is the whole truth of your being. And so I give thanks for this time, for this opportunity to share these principles. I so honor the path of science of mind. I so honor the path of new thought, the teachings of all those who have been on this path. I'm so grateful to be right here now at Vision, a center for spiritual living, in a whole room full of people radiating the whole truth of being. And so I accept that something about this remains with us. That in the midst of the easy and the difficult, we say, I am whole. And we allow that wholeness to be and to shine. And knowing this is done, I release this word. Together we say, and so it is. Amen. And open your eyes. Thank you so much. Thank you.